Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Lunch and Learn with Chris and Barrett. I am your host, Barrett Matthews. My lovely, talented, and gifted co-host, Chris Bridges, is not with us today. She is, of course, sending someone off to the graduation. She's at a graduation ceremony, just wishing someone well as they go on from, I think it's high school today. So we want to wish Chris well and whoever's graduating, congratulations to that. But joining me, you know I never, ever, ever leave you guys lacking. Today we have our good friend, the founder of Survival Radio Network, which you are listening to today, my co-host today, Mr. Clark Garrison. Clark, you're with us today. You're on board. You're ready to go. You're ready to rock and roll, Clark.
Brother Barrett, it's always challenging not to be ready for your show, man. You got a lot of energy on this show.
Well, we try to have fun, man. You know, I was just talking to a friend a minute ago, and she was saying, do you get nervous about the show? I'm like, no, we have fun. I said, this is just going to be me and Clark having a talk. We just let people listen
like
to
it. Always do, like old times.
Yeah, exactly. So it's nothing different, nothing to be nervous about. We're just having some fun today. How you been, man?
Pretty good, man. You know, weather's been holding steady, so that's always a good thing, although today is a little overcast today, so who knows what's going on, but beyond that, I can't complain.
Well, that's good. It's overcast here, too, up in the D.C. area. Sun's trying to come through. I don't know what it's going to do. It's rained hard twice this week. I said, God, it feels like Atlanta. You know, Atlanta will rain in a heartbeat. So
I was just going to ask you, what city are you in? You know, you can never tell with you.
Oh, stop, man. See? There you go. There you go. But, you know, I hate to say it, but you're right. Because I told somebody, man, I just want to sit down for a minute, you know, because I think, I've been to Atlanta this month. This is just in May. I'm in the D.C. area. I've been, you know, all through the Maryland area, and I've also been to Jamaica this month. And next month, I got to go to Atlanta again, and I'm supposed to be going to Texas. So, yeah, I've been doing some traveling. I said, I want to sit down.
Hey, that's just a day in the life in Barrett Matthews' homestead. So that's what you do, man.
Oh, man, please. But the funny thing about it is people have this impression of me that I just travel all the time. I'm like, mostly it's just back to Atlanta. You know that. It's just back and forth from Atlanta to Maryland. And people will ask me sometimes, so how was your vacation? I'm like, no vacation. They said, didn't you go to Atlanta? Well, Atlanta ain't no vacation.
Yeah, that's your second home.
Right, exactly. I mean, I lived in Atlanta for 15 years. That is not a vacation. I know more of Atlanta than some Atlantans do. So.
Ooh, yeah, you do. Yes, you do.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, that's not much of a vacation to me, but I do want to tell people I do enjoy Atlanta. I don't want to give the impression that I don't love Atlanta because you all know that's my place. I come there once a month, so I do love it, but it's not a vacation for me. That's definitely not a vacation. And we want to definitely say we do miss our Chris Bridges today. You know, we want to make sure she knows
it
that.
Is always about Chris. Anybody who knows that's a fact.
Yes, but today it's all about me. So
that's right.
I said it. Well, I mean, the show, we're interviewing me today, so it's all about me. If I'm a co-host and we're interviewing me, then it's about me today.
But it's all right if you get one day.
One day out of the year. That's all I ask. That's all I ask. And you know what? I'm going to share it with you because I'm that type of guy. It's all about me and Clark today.
Oh, I appreciate it, man.
And no problem. See, Chris don't do that for you. Just remember that. It's nothing. Well, today what we're going to do is, for those of you wondering what we're doing. I, as you know, I have my company, E2E System, where we help people move from employee to entrepreneur. Well, I also have another business. I'm a licensed public adjuster. And many of you are wondering, what the heck is a public adjuster? Because probably you've never heard of it before. And we're going to discuss that. But what we're going to do is educate you on some things that you may need to know about your homeowner's insurance or even commercial insurance if you have insurance on property. And a lot of people are going to, I would suggest that you get your pen and paper ready. This is Lunch and Learn with Chris and Barrett. So we want to make sure that you get your pen and paper ready, because there are going to be some things, and I know there are going to be some questions, and I may get some calls and some emails. And so what we're going to do, Clark, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the profession of public adjusting. Well, let's take two and two, and we'll be right back.
Not always easy being a dad.
When's the fairy princess coming?
Any minute now.
What? What do you mean she's not coming?
But it's always worth it.
It's the fairy princess!
Yet goodbye!
Grooves! Zinkle bells!
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
I know it's really you, Drew. I'm just pretending for the other kids.
Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4-DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
I want to be a football
stadium. I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Pick up your copy of Running with Blinders, the top 17 mistakes of small businesses, written by author Brian Joubert, who has over 20 years of experience in business consulting. Running with Blinders is a full resource guide that will motivate, educate, and inspire everyone who reads this book. Filled with expert advice to avoid pitfalls, this book is a must-have for everyone who really wants to be successful. On sale now for only $12.95. Visit lbtaxservice.com. Purchase your copy of Running with Blinders, the top 17 mistakes of small businesses, and get started creating long-term business success.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey, the dreaded splash fight. It's Dad O'Clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4-DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Lunch and Learn with Chris and Barrett. I am Barrett Matthews of E2E Systems, but I am joined by my fantastic, talented co-host, Mr. Clark Garrison. Clark, we're going to have some fun today. Like I said, it's all about me and you today. we got a lot of testosterone on the air today, so we're going to get this thing going. As I mentioned earlier, I am also a licensed public adjuster, and we're going to talk about that today. I have done this show now for almost a year, but I have never, ever talked about my other profession, because, as you know, I'm an entrepreneur, so I have different businesses as well. But this is just one of the businesses I have. I have others in the works and in the works as well. But we're going to talk about public adjusting, because I think there's a lot that the public can learn on this topic today, and we just want to get into it and say I am honored and privileged to have one of the best interviewers. Those of you who know Clark in the conversation, he does great shows, he does great interviews, has some of the biggest guests that you can get on his show, So if you're not listening to Clark's show on Survivor Radio Network, you are nuts, man. You better tune in and listen to his show with his fantastic co-host, Michelle Morrissey, who is just a great friend of mine as well, who is a cut-up all the time as well. So first, before we even get into it, Clark, I want to make sure I give the number for people if they want to call in, if they want to ask any questions about this topic today. The number is 347-989-8385. That's 347-989-8385. If you want to ask a question, just press the number 1, and we can get you on to ask a question about that. So, Clark, I know you wanted to start off with have some questions, so let's fire away, buddy.
Hey, you know what? And thank you so much, Barrett, for the compliment. This is one of the reasons why I like doing this show. I get, you know, my head gets swollen up on this show, so appreciate that.
It's the truth, man. It's just the truth. That's all we do is spit the truth out, man. That's all. You're the man. Everybody
well, you know,
that don't know the Clark is the man, you better recognize.
Love it. Hey, let's jump into you, sir, because it is about you today. I remember the first time you told me or shared with me that you were a public adjuster, and you know, I have been in real estate for many years, and I've never heard of what a public adjuster is or does. So this is going to be very informative for those who are out there. And if you are in any way, shape, or form a home owner or a commercial property owner or and we'll go over some other topics as well, but if any of those fits you, you really need to be paying attention now because you're going to discover some things you didn't know of and that you're paying for and you're not getting. So, Barrett, I want to ask you first, how did you get started as a public adjuster?
Well, Clark, it's funny because as you, I worked in real estate. I've worked in real estate appraisal. I even worked in insurance. I had never heard of this field before. And from Georgia to Maryland, I was working for a home improvement company managing their marketing canvassing team, and that the economy shut that whole department down. Well, I answered an ad that said they were doing reporting and inspections and stuff. And I said, well, it said they're dealing with properties. So I said, well, I've worked in that field with properties for a while. So I said, let me go take a look at it. And they explained this business, and I said, wow, if with my background, if I had never heard of this, I know that the people that I know have never heard of this before. And the funny thing about it, Clark, is that the profession had been around for 130 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible.
But never heard of it. Yeah, never heard of it. Never heard of it. So that's how I got started when I first saw it. I just said, okay, I need to do this because no one – ever heard of this before. And the good thing is I never have to ask anybody for a check when I leave them.
So what are some requirements that one would have to have just to enter? I'm just curious, as a public adjuster.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you ask that because actually we're always looking for other people that want to become public adjusters. I actually recruit and train people as well. The main requirement is that you need to be able to get a license. And when I say be able, a lot of people have, some criminal backgrounds that preclude them from getting a license. Keep in mind, we will take you as long as the state that you're in will license you. So as long as you can get a license, and every state has different requirements as far as the licensing. Every state has different guidelines as to how stringent they are, whether you have a background or not. We've had people who had serious background who were able to get licensed with the state. We've had people who had small things who had to go through hoops depending on the state that they're in. And every state had, different, requirements on that. But, depending on where you are, you generally have to take a test, a public adjuster's exam. And some states require that you even sit through a class before you take the exam. Most of the states don't require that. But it depends on which state you're in, and you can just pass the test, provide the training for you to get that done, as far as understanding what it takes to become a public adjuster other than just passing the test. And we take it from there. But you have to get licensed. It is a licensed profession with the state insurance department.
And you mentioned training. How long does the typical training process last for an average student?
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Clark. I don't do average. So So
it well, can,
yeah, the training really takes as long as you want it to take. We tell you, we explain to you exactly what you need to do to complete your training. At that point, it's on how fast you want to get it done. Because it's not a regimented type of training as to where you have to do 30 days, 60 days, 90 days of training. You know, you, as fast as you want to move, I completed my training within the first 30 days. I usually expect that from the people I train, although, you know, I don't get it all the time, but every now and then I get someone that gets it done. I've had people get their training done quicker than me, and I love it. I love it. So it's really up to them. It's how fast they want to get the training done. And, you know, we just show you what you need to do. You just have to do it.
Love it. I love it, man. So we're going to learn a lot today, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just tuning in, this is Lunch and Learn with Chris and Barrett, and we're talking to Barrett Matthews about one of his many professions. He's a professional kick-you-in-the-butt-er. And, but the other thing that he does, all seriousness, is, and I've known him to do this for quite some time, and, again, we're gonna find out some very interesting things, is a public adjuster. So you've been doing this for a while, and let's get to the crux of it. I want to ask this question first. What's the difference between a public adjuster and an insurance, I guess what they call them, claimer?
Insurance adjuster. I'm glad you asked that question. There are actually three different types of adjusters. There is an insurance adjuster who is the employee of the insurance company. Their job is to go assess the damages that an insured calls in about, and to determine whether they're going to pay that claim and determine how much they're going to pay. Now, keep in mind, their job, their promotion, their income, their bonuses are contingent upon how much money they save the company. Their job is to make sure that the company does not go broke spending money on claims. Even though you pay your premiums, their job is to make sure that the company saves money. Now, a lot of people may think, oh, they're there to help me. That's because they're nice to you. Well, they're nice to you because that's their job. But their job is to save the company money and to get that claim either processed or denied if they can.
Before you go to the other two types, I want everybody to be very clear on this. The insurance claim adjuster that works for your insurance company, let's be very clear. His job is to save his company, not you, save his company money. And he gets paid, obviously, by that company, but he also gets bonuses for saving the company, obviously, a certain level of revenue per year.
Correct. And let me add to that also, your agent, first of all, a lot of people say they'll call their agent on a claim. Your agent has nothing to do with how much money you're going to get. Your agent could be your friend, your family, your spouse, whomever. They're not the claims department. So, yes, that's the one you contact most of the time for stuff, but they really have nothing to do with how much money you get. But I was told this by an agent. An agent does get a hit on their bonuses when their clients put in claims. So sometimes your agent may tell you you may not want to put in that claim. Sometimes they're telling you because it's right, you may not want to. Other times they're telling you because they may be watching their bonus.
Wow. Man, that is crazy. All right, so what are the other two types?
The other two types, one of them is an independent adjuster. An independent adjuster, which you see a lot of, independent adjusters are everywhere. They can be in any state because they're the ones who usually are the hired guns by the insurance companies. A lot of insurance companies, especially the smaller insurance companies, don't have a lot of staff adjusters. They don't have their own adjuster. So what they'll do is they'll hire an independent adjuster to go out and do the work and adjust the claim for them. The independent adjuster gets paid, you know, per claim, and they get paid, you know, basically on, you know, depending on the settlement. Now, sometimes it's a good thing to have an independent adjuster because a lot of times they'll get paid, you know, based on that settlement. If it's a good settlement, they get paid more. But a lot of times the companies, you know, they have some influence on them, and they'll tell you, look, we'll give you more work if you don't, you know, get these estimates up so high. So So sometimes, you know, you get it that way as well. Independent adjusters can go work for any insurance company they want to. They're hired guns. So they don't have to be loyal to any particular company. So they can go, but they still do work for the insurance company. That's the main thing you have to understand with that. They do still work for the insurance company. It's just that they're hired guns, so they can work for any insurance company they want to at any time. And now then there is the public adjuster, which is what I am. A public adjuster is an advocate for the policyholder, not the insurance company. We do not represent any insurance company. Our job is only to work for the policyholder and to maximize the settlement. A public adjuster represents a homeowner and a business owner when they have damage to their property covered by their insurance so that the insurance company treats and pays them fairly. Our job is to maximize the settlement, not to minimize it. So we only get paid if we get you money. I always look at it as if it were an illegal settlement. I always tell people you wouldn't go into a legal settlement without having your own representation because the saying goes, he who represents himself has a fool for a client. So we don't want you representing yourself in an insurance settlement. So what we do is we represent the policyholder to make sure that the insurance company pays them what they're supposed to pay, get paid, not just what they want to pay them.
You know, that's a great point there, because almost no one goes into a serious court claim or scenario just representing themselves. Everyone kind of knows,
right,
hey, I've got to go get
right
a lawyer. Why is it you think that that same kind of mentality is not permeated around common folks, I should say, where they got to say, you know what, I got to get my own claims adjuster? Why do you think that's not known? Because I dare say 9 out of 10 people probably don't know that they can get a public adjuster to represent themselves.
Another great question. There are several reasons for that. One reason that people don't do it is because we're taught, as we grow up, we're always taught, this is called the insurance company. It's called the insurance company. That's what we're taught. We're not even taught to even look elsewhere. And so that's one reason. The other reason is the insurance companies, they have a whole campaign, all of them, a marketing campaign to make you feel that you can trust them. And think about it. I would tell people the insurance companies have a God complex. They want you to fear them, but they also want you to feel that they're going to take care of you. And so the thing is, if you think about any commercial that you see about the insurance industry, I mean about an insurance company, what they're going to tell you is, you know, we're here for you. We have you. You know, we have your back. I'm not going to use their slogans because you know what companies there are. But the whole thing is that, you know, they want you to feel comfortable in calling them because they're going to take care of you. That's the impression that they want you to have when you think about the insurance. So people want to trust the insurance company, and the main reason that people want to trust the insurance company is because you give them your money. You want to be able to trust the people you pay. So you don't think of looking elsewhere, and we usually just take their word as gospel. Whatever they say on our claim, well, that's what the insurance company said, and that's it. Now, another reason that people don't call public adjusters is because they don't know about the profession. And the main reason most people don't know about the profession, because I get this all the time, like, why don't you all advertise? Well, because the company that I work with is Metro Public Adjustment. And Metro Public Adjustment is one of the few companies out there that actually handles large and small settlements. Most public adjusters, just like independent adjusters too, most of them are what you may call storm chasers or fire chasers. When you see a large fire in someone's home or when you see a tornado hit an area, you'll see a lot of them out there, a lot of public adjusters and a lot of independent adjusters there to talk to the homeowner. Well, I don't do a lot of that. Not that I haven't, but I don't do a lot of that. What I do as a public adjuster is I go to people and I review their policy for them so that whether they have small or large damage, I can show them what they're covered for. I can show them why they need someone to talk to them and that we can handle it whether it's small or large. That's the difference between what I do. But the thing is, I get most of my business from referral. I mean, 99% of my business is referral-based. So I don't do advertising, but the thing is, the general public doesn't know about public adjusters because no one would know them unless you have a large loss, like a fire or a tornado or something. So that's the only time you would ever see one generally. So that's the main reason people don't call them, because they just don't know and they don't have a need for them at that time in their mind, because they think it has to be something extremely large.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's almost like you never need a plumber until you need one, right?
Exactly. So, and that, see, like I said, with my company, there's a difference because we take an educational approach. We don't chase the damage. That's how I always look at it. We don't go chasing damage. We actually, for instance, if I drove down your street right now looking for damage on your property, I may not see any. But I know everybody has a policy. So my job is to go and review your policy for you, which, by the way, is a free service I do. I'll just review your policy for you to let you know what you have, what you're paying for, make recommendations that you may want to call your company about. And at the same time, I'm going to also give you a complimentary inspection of your property to find out if you may be owed some money by your insurance company that you didn't know about. That's how I get the majority of my business, by giving the people something free. And then they'll let me know if they have something in their house that I can't see just driving down the street. They'll also let me know of all their friends and family who would like to have a free review of their policy, too. I venture to say, Clark, that 70% of the homes I go into, I can find something they may be owed money for.
Well, we're going to get to that. I want you to kind of give us some nuggets on what things that you would find and some things and policies that maybe what people don't know are even there. But before we do that, and by the way, guys, if you're just tuning in, we are talking to the host of the show. He's on the other side of the, I guess you would say, proverbial mic.
I'm in
the comfortable seat. I'm interviewing the host of the show, Barrett Matthews. This is Lunch and Learn with Chris and Barrett. And so if you don't hear Chris's voice, she's out on vacation. She's doing some stuff, but I'm sitting in for...
Yeah, she's at a graduation today.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. What?
It's about me and Clark.
If you've got a question, man, the number to dial is 347-989-8385. Be sure to hit the number one button, and we can get your question in as well. Of course, I've got several. What's the pros and cons of representing yourself? Because I know there's people out there, I'll just, you know, it's too much work. I'll just represent myself. Can I do that?
Well, yeah, you can. And I tell people that all the time when they ask that question. Yes, you can represent yourself. You can. And there's a chance that you may get a good settlement. But I always ask people this. Who wrote the policy? Because, see, the policy is a contract. Who wrote it? The insurance company wrote it. You're going to argue with the people that wrote the agreement on what you feel they should pay for. You are already at a serious disadvantage at that point. Because you don't know the policy language. And I'm talking about the general public. Some people have insurance backgrounds, underwriting backgrounds. Of course, you may know a little bit more. But the general public does not understand the language in insurance policy. And here's the other thing, Clark. Most people don't even understand that there are different types of homeowners policy. And I get that all the time. I think I know what's in my policy. I'm like, really, what type do you have? They say, what do you mean? Like, so if you have to ask what do you mean, then you don't know what type. So that's the one thing. So you're arguing with someone about a contract which you didn't have any input in forming. So that puts you at one disadvantage. But, yes, you can argue your own claim. The other thing is that you have to be extremely careful about what you say to the insurance company. And, Clark, I'm sure you're well aware that, you know, they record conversations when you call them. They record them for a reason. Yes, it's going for a reason. And the thing is to cover their butt and to make sure that they got you saying something that they can come back later. I tell people, talking to the insurance company is like talking to the police. What you say can and will be used against you.
Wow.
And, I mean, it's true. I mean, there are so many, and I get that all the time. Oh, I know what to say to them. I know how to handle them. You think you do. And they make you think that you've done a great job. They really do. They make you think you've done a great job in negotiating your settlement. I mean, Clark, just to give you a quick example of a client that I just helped out recently. The insurance company, they had a fire at their home, and the insurance company came out, and I believe they were going to pay them, I think, $1,000. And then we got involved. We got them $140,000.
Oh, wow. Huge difference.
Now, Yeah. Now, do you think that the average homeowner would know what to say, what to negotiate to get a $100,000 difference on their settlement?
Oh, absolutely not.
And see, I had another thing with the church. I had a roofer call me. He said, look, I'm trying to deal with this insurance company to get this church's roof fixed, and they are just giving me a hard time, and I'm not a public adjuster, so I need someone that can help and negotiate this for me. Before we go on with this story, let me explain this. It was smart for the roofer to do that. Any of you who have any contractors, roofers that come by, say, after hail hit, and they tell you, oh, we can come fix your roof and we'll negotiate with your insurance company for you, keep in mind, it is illegal for them to negotiate your settlement unless they have a public adjuster's license. I know it goes on all the time. A lot of you have those signs posted in your yard that this company is helping you with your damage in your roof or your siding, whatever. They cannot negotiate with your insurance company unless they have a public adjuster's license, because it could do you more damage than good sometimes. So let me go on with that. Now, the roofer called me off of this church. The insurance company wasn't trying to pay them any more than about $5,000 for the damage to their roof. We got involved. Clark is going to love this. We got them over $180,000.
Oh, wow.
Now, keep in mind, that's not the case every time, but my point is that this is not something that the average person knows how to negotiate. They don't know what to argue, and we did. And that's why we got them that money. That's why a public adjuster is necessary, because the average person does not know how to get that type of settlement from an insurance company. And like I said, we never ask the insurance company to pay more than what they're supposed to pay. We just ask them to pay what they're supposed to pay.
Hey, Barry, before we go further, I want to go back just a few steps, because you mentioned there are different types of insurance policies. Talk to us about what those are and perhaps some subtle differences.
Well, it's very easy. It's kind of like a small, medium, large in most policies. They have what they call a basic policy, and a technical term for that is an HO1 policy. These are homeowners policies. And the basic policy covers about 10 things that can happen to your property. Then you have what they call a broad policy, or an HO2. And that one covers about 6 more things that can happen to your property. Then you have what they call a special or an all-risk policy, and they call that an HO3. And HO3 covers just about everything that's not excluded, not specifically excluded in the policy. And that's generally the one that most companies are selling these days. But a lot of people who don't know, sometimes they'll ask the company for just give me something basic. I just want the most basic thing. And they end up getting an HO1 policy. Now, there are other policies as well. There's an HO4, which is a renter's policy. Then there's an HO5, which is kind of like what we call the Cadillac of policies. That's in your area, in Atlanta, Clark, you may see a lot of HO5s in the Buckhead area. So those are for the big dogs over there. And then you have an HO6, which is a condo policy. HO8, which is the worst policy you can get. It really doesn't cover much of anything, and it's funny. I always play with people sometimes when they tell me, I already know everything about my policy, and I just play with them. I say, well, do you have an HO6, HO7, HO8? See, and I figure if the company got an HO6, that means they have a condo policy, which is kind of stupid if they have a home. If they have an HO7, that doesn't exist. And if they have an HO8, that's the worst one. So either answer they give me, they need to talk to me. So. Those are the differences between them. But it's just that most people don't know that there are any differences.
Wow. Well, you know, we're right at the half mark. You want to take a quick break and come back, or it's up to you.
Hey, man. Hey, look, you're the interviewer today. I'm just a guest. So go right ahead. Let's do that.
Well, with that being said, you know, hey, I'm known to take over a show. This is Fun to Learn with Chris and Barry. Hey, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. I know you're getting a lot out of this. Hopefully you got your pens and paper. See, here's the thing. You really want to know this information, and you want to take action, as Barrett always says, because most of the time, people wait till the last minute, and by that time, you're already behind. So this is a show that will allow you to be ahead of the curve just in case that fateful day happens and something terrible happens that you was totally out of your hand. You can still rebound for it. So we're going to get back and ask more questions. We'll be right back after this commercial break. Don't go anywhere. This is Lunch and Learn.
FOCUS, find opportunities, create unique success. Focus is an empower agency that provides motivational tools needed to aid our youth and young adults in the Metro Atlanta area. Allow Focus to provide your kids with additional help in developing self-awareness, leadership, communication, and empowerment skills. For more information on how to get started today, go to www.focusfruits.com. Focus. Life coaching for youth and young adults.
Too many times we find ourselves wearing masks to cover our true selves. Girl in the Glass is an empowerment group that supports you in honoring the person you are meant to be. Go to www.girlintheglass.net and learn to trust, receive, and believe in your ability to live in your truth. Visit www.girlintheglass.net today.
Are you looking for a reputable company that offers human resource consulting services, workshops, and speakers for individuals and organizations? Give Miss PDW Enterprises a try. PDW topics cover building your personal brand, job seeker preparation, and business planning workshops. Visit their website at www.misspdwenterprises.com or give them a call at 678-360-4112. Miss PDW Enterprises, LLC, where engagement is key. Be sure to let them know SRN sent you.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back.
Hello.
Oh, you got it, Clark?
No, you do it. I like when you do it better.
No. Well, welcome back. Welcome back to Lunch and Learn with Chris and Barrett. I am one of the hosts of the show, Barrett Matthews. My lovely, talented, and gifted co-host, Chris Bridges, is not with us today. And we have a testosterone-filled show today with Mr. Clark Garrison. And Clark is doing – I'm learning from Clark on how to interview people. He's doing a great job, man. Clark is the man. Y'all, if y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody. Clark is the man, and I'm just happy to be here with Clark. We're talking about my profession, which is public adjusting, one of my professions, which is public adjusting. So, Clark, I'm going to hand it back over to you, my buddy.
Well, you know, again, thank you, man, for everything you say. You know, I respect when you say it because we go way back, so, you know,
we
know each other's characters, so I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
We're good friends at the same time, so that's good.
Absolutely. Hey, if you guys are just dropping by, we're really talking about public adjustment through utilizing a public adjuster, of course. And we've covered a lot of information, actually. What is a public adjuster? When should you need one? When we went to the break, we were just delving into your policy, what kind of policy. Of course, most homeowners don't know exactly what kind of policy they have. That's why we have Barrett Matthews. He's the only public adjuster in the United States, so he's the only one you can call. And we're going to get you his information later on, but right now we want you to take some nuggets and learn some things today that you didn't know before. Now, Barrett, you talked a lot about the kind of clients you typically get. And you shared a little bit of information about, yes, there are some clients that you come across after the fact. They've
had something bad happen, maybe roof shingles are blown off by a storm, partial fire, and, of course, then they need you. But you also will go in, when there's no trouble, review a person's policy, tell them what kind of policy, what's covered, and then you spoke about some things that you make them aware of that possibly that the insurance company should be paying for. Can you talk a little bit about what kind of things those are?
Yeah, I mean, some of the major things that people – I mean, I've literally gone into someone's house before where it was like – I think it was in June or July, and I walked into their kitchen, and the kitchen is charred, the cabinets, the walls, the ceiling. And I asked them what happened. They said they had a little kitchen fire, and they had never called the insurance company because they didn't think that it was going to be something that they would get money for. I've had people who had a tub leak where the water went from upstairs to downstairs, even in the basement, and they never called the insurance company because they didn't think it was covered. I mean, there are things like that. There are things that some of us may think, wow, I would definitely call the insurance company, but there are a lot of people who only think they're covered in the event of a fire. So that's the one thing that we want to make sure that we let people know that, you know, there are a lot of things you're covered for that you don't know about. Now, there are some things, and I'll get on that in a minute, but there are some under most policies, under 803 policies, you're going to love this, Todd. You ever seen spilled bleach on a carpet before?
Oh, absolutely, all the time.
Yeah, you know that's covered under most 803 policies.
Wow. No, I didn't know that.
You ever seen a floor that has ceramic tile and then you see one tile that's cracked? Maybe something fell on it and cracked it?
Yes, amen.
Well, see, you can't take up just one tile and put another one down and make it look the same. You have to do the whole floor again. That's actually covered under 803 policy.
Wow, man.
Yeah, people just don't notice. And keep in mind, if you look through your policy, you won't see a single thing that mentions that. But it's not excluded. So since it's not excluded in the policy, and once again, Clark, who wrote the policy?
They wrote it.
They wrote it. So if there's going to be excluded, they should have done it. So they didn't exclude, so it's actually covered under a lot of policies. Same thing, like something like melted siding from a barbecue grill or something. That's actually something that's covered. See, a lot of people think that if I did it myself, then it's not covered. And the insurance companies cover things that are sudden and accidental. It has to be sudden and accidental. It can't be a wear and tear issue. It can't be a maintenance issue. It's usually a one-time occurrence that usually happens probably within the last year. But those are the things that they cover. But the thing is most people don't think in those terms. And a lot of people don't think in terms of the time frame. For instance, you know, we in Maryland and in Georgia, we had an interesting winter this year. So a lot of people had damage to the houses from frozen pipes to ice damming to the weight of ice and snow and so forth. Well, like right now, the weather has turned. It's gotten warmer. There are people who didn't put in the claims then but are seeing the effect of those damages in their home. I can't tell you how many times I've gone into someone's home and I ask them, well, what's that? And they say, oh, that happened last winter. And I'm like, did you put in a claim for it? And they say, no, well, it's too late for it now. And I'm like, no, you have a year to put in that claim. But people just don't know this, and the insurance company is definitely not going to volunteer that information. So those are just some of the little things that are covered. And I wanted to touch on some of the things that aren't covered, because this is one of the things that a lot of people think are covered, and I just want to clear this up. A lot of people, and I hear this all the time, well, I got a big crack in my sidewalk or a crack in my driveway or a crack in my ceiling and a crack in my wall. Well, unless a tree fell on it and caused the crack or a car ran into your house and caused the crack, it's not covered because, Clark, as you know, most cracks are not sudden and accidental. Most cracks take time to form. So if it takes time to form, then it's not going to be covered. One of the big words that people use, we call it the M word, is mold. And mold, once again, does not happen suddenly. Now, sometimes if mold is the result of a covered loss, meaning mold needs moisture and it needs heat in order to grow. So let's say your hot water heater bursts. Well, if your hot water heater bursts, you got moisture and heat from that hot water. So in that case, the mold could be covered. But then you have situations where, and this is the F word, so say, oh, my house is flooded. Well, first of all, if your pipe bursts and you've got 6 inches of water all through your house, that is not a flood. A flood is an actual body of water that overflows coming into your house. Like what they had with Hurricane Sandy, that was a flood. The ocean.
Okay.
The ocean came into the house. That's a flood. Your house, a pipe bursting is not a flood. Now, you may think, okay, my house is flooded, but if you say those words to the insurance company, you have just shot yourself in the foot. Because they will tell you, Mr. Garrison, you don't have flood insurance. And they will try to get you off the phone. Now, they know that no flood happened in Atlanta, but guess what? You said it. And what you say can and will be used against you. And they recorded you saying it. So they can deny that claim. Now, not all of them will do that, but a lot of them can. I got a client that he called in a pipe burst, his toilet valve burst, water was everywhere. He called his insurance company, said his house flooded. They said, we don't know that you're covered for that. He was irate, but we ended up helping him and getting him paid for that. But the thing is, those things that you say that you think are covered are not covered a lot of times, and we just assume it. Another thing is, especially this happens a lot in the Maryland area and Atlanta doesn't have a lot of basements, but a lot of areas where you have basements, a lot of people have sump pumps to help pump out the water if anything were to happen. Well, if the sump pump goes, a lot of people just assume that that's covered in my policy. It is generally not covered unless you add the endorsement to the policy. You have to have a water backup or sump pump endorsement on your policy. Now, that doesn't just mean if you have a sump pump, you could have a septic system. If you have any type of backup in your plumbing system that's caused by a blockage, any type of backup, you need to have coverage for that. And a lot of people don't have coverage for that, and they find out, as you said, Clark, they find out when it's too late. And it can hurt them a great deal. And the same thing is some of them have coverage, but they don't have enough coverage. They didn't know that they have it, and they think it covers everything. And then when something happens, they find out they only had $5,000 of coverage for that. So in that way, too.
So, Barry, you can, when you review a person's coverage, you can not only tell them and find out things that they can still get fixed, but you can tell them if they're short on coverage, correct?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I find that a great deal. I mean, most of the time when I go out and find out if they're short on coverage on certain things, sometimes they even have too much coverage on certain things. But I can, you know, tell them those areas there, what they need to change, what they need to improve on. Keep in mind, I'm not there to sell you any insurance. So my job is just to tell you, you know, you may need to contact your company about this.
Okay, so here's a big question I want to toss in there, Barrett, I bet a lot of people are thinking about this because, you know, again, it's that God complex. People are afraid of their insurance companies when it comes
to
they're going to drop me tomorrow. I can't claim. I'll just pay it myself. Does someone get penalized for having a public adjuster, a system?
No. I always use the analogy that if you had to go to court for, let's say, a traffic violation, are you going to get penalized because you brought your attorney?
No.
Right. So it's the same thing. You're not penalized because you have representation. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, and you brought up another good point, though. It's my favorite topic. When they say, oh, they're going to drop me for putting in a claim. First of all, they can't drop you for putting in a claim. And I know some people listen and say, oh, yeah, they did that to my cousin. They did. No. First of all, they cannot drop. There's a difference, first of all, between being dropped and being non-renewed. Dropped means that they can just decide right now that they don't want you anymore and you're done. That's dropping or canceling. They can't do that just for you putting in a claim. Now, there are reasons that, and I know in the Maryland area, the main reasons that someone can get just dropped out and out is if you commit fraud, if you commit what they call misrepresentation, and I know you know that in the real estate field, if you have done something to make your property more of a risk. And I want to touch on that in a minute, too, a little bit more. And can you guess what the fourth reason is, Clark, if they would drop you?
Wow, you hit the ones that I would have guessed on. So I'm dying to know.
Not paying them.
Oh, forgot about that one.
Yes, not paying them. Now, the one when I mentioned about making your home more of a risk, this is one that gets people in some trouble, too. You may have a deck on your house. And sometimes insurance companies make spot checks in certain areas, just so you know that. They do have their adjusters make spot checks. They may come and see that you have a deck, but you may not have a railing on that deck. And they can send you a notice stating if you don't put a railing on that deck, they will drop you within the next 30 days. And that's what happens a lot of times. They can do that because you've made your home more of a risk. Or you put in a swimming pool and you didn't put a fence around it. Or a trampoline, didn't put a fence around it. Those are things that have made your home more of a risk because you're a liability issue. And it's the same thing when you're talking about certain types of dogs, certain types of attack dogs. Some insurance companies will not insure you. If that dog bites the neighbor and the neighbor goes against you for liability, certain companies do not insure certain types of dogs. So you have to be careful of those. But that's making your home more of a risk. But those are the main reasons you could be dropped. Now, non-renewal is a different issue. Non-renewal means they have to actually wait until your renewal period comes up and they can decide that they don't want to keep you as a client. Now, most of the time when people get non-renewed, it's because they have put in too many claims in a short period of time. Meaning, let's say over a year and a half period, you put in 3 claims. They can decide that they don't want to renew you as a client. Now, once again, as you mentioned earlier, Clark, people are so scared of their insurance company. Well, here's the thing, Clark. Let me ask you this question. If you got into a car accident and your insurance company said, well, Clark, you got in this accident, we're not going to cover you anymore, what would you do?
Because I got in an accident, they wouldn't cover me anymore. I'd just go get someone else.
So why won't people think that way when it comes to their home? It's the same thing. So what? Get another company. There are so many companies out there. And one of the biggest complaints I get from clients when they talk about that is that I tried everybody and nobody wants to cover me. I said, you didn't try everybody. I said, who did you try? Oh, everybody, nationwide, all states, State Farm. I said, so you tried everybody that runs a commercial. That's all you did.
Ooh.
You tried everyone that runs a commercial. There are so many insurance companies out there that don't spend their money on advertising that will take that want your business and will probably treat you a little better because they're not one of the big boys, so they want to keep your business. So there are so many companies out there.
Mm-hmm. Last question before I turn it back over to you, because I know you want to get some parting shouts out. What is AAPIA?
Oh, APIA. APIA is the American Association of Public Insurance Adjusters. And they are the organization that lobbies on Capitol Hill on behalf of public adjusters and on behalf of policyholders to make sure that everyone is being able to be treated fairly and that people can have representation in those situations. The company that I work with, Metro Public Adjustment, we're very proud to be associated with APIA because the APIA was founded by a gentleman by the name of Stephen McCaffrey. Stephen McCaffrey also happens to be the president and CEO of Metro Public Adjustment. So we are very, very involved in protecting the rights of public adjusters and policyholders. He founded the organization that actually lobbies on Capitol Hill for them. So yeah, APIA is a great organization, and you can check them out online as well. I think it's APIA.org. And you can check them out online as well. But, yeah, that's one of the things I definitely want to make sure that people know about.
Well, we've got 6 minutes. I'm going to turn it back over to you, man. This has been very informative. And go ahead and do your thing because you always leave us with something very encouraging and inspirational.
Okay, well, first I want to tell everyone, if you would like more information about public adjusting, you can go to my website, which is www.metropa.com/bmatthews, and Matthews has two T's. That's www.metropa.com/bmatthews with two T's. And also, if you would like to get a free review of your policy and a free inspection of your property, you can actually go on that site and you can request one from me. So that's no problem at all as well. I generally will be back and forth between Maryland and Atlanta, Georgia a lot, but I'm also licensed in North Carolina. I'm licensed in D.C. as well. We do have offices in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Illinois, North and South Carolina. We are expanding in the other areas as well. So we are just looking to grow. So we can definitely help you in those, especially in those particular areas that we do have offices set up in those areas. So, you know, I recommend that everyone get in contact with the public adjuster, just get your policy reviews, because you just never know what'll happen. And as far as me saying something inspirational to people, I would just advise for those of you who are looking for a business to get involved in, public adjusting is a great field. The way Metro Public Adjustment has it set up, we're a direct sales company, but we also have a network marketing pay structure. So you can actually get paid from other public adjusters in other states as well from the work that they're doing. You can still get paid from that as well and build a business in different states and enjoy the checks coming in. So that's what I have to say. Clark, I know you wanted to make sure that we got some housekeeping done as well and get it out, get the business of the week for Survival Radio Network as well. And first of all, I want to say thank you to Clark Garrison publicly to everyone, because Clark is, like I said, he's a good friend, but he is a great, great interviewer. So I want to thank you for that, Clark.
Pleasure's all mine. Anytime you want me, man, all you got to do is say hey.
Well, that's what I do.
Well, yeah, sounds good. As our business of the week, want to give a shout-out to Chez J's, which is a premier confections company with a Creole flair. Their mission is to please the most discerning palate by creating the most memorable culinary experience. Allow them to create a party in your mouth by bringing a little piece of New Orleans to your door. Give them a call at 678-439-NOLA, N-O-L-A, 678-439-NOLA. Or go to the website at www.chayjs.com. And be sure to let them know Survival Radio Network sent you.
All right. Mm-hmm. So I also want to add in there for people to please go to the Lunch and Learn with Kristen Barrett Facebook page, and please like our page. We want to definitely have you guys listening in, and also go to Survival Radio Network. We want you to come to our website as well. And, Clark, you want to give that web address?
Yes, absolutely, www.survivalradionetwork.us. Go there, and you can see all information on all the shows. We've got over 30 shows here on the Survival Radio Network, the network you can't live without.
That's right. I like that. And also, I think we have with Brian Heat show coming up tomorrow, Rock the World with Brian Heat, right?
At noontime Saturday, as always, Brian Heat, Rock the World. If you want a very high-powered inspiration, encourages our young men around the nation, that is the show to tune into.
All right. Well, Clark, once again, I want to thank you for your help. How much time we got left?
A minute, 20 seconds.
Okay, I want to say a special shout-out to our intern, Kira, who has been chiming in and been doing a great job. I want to give her a shout-out on the air. So thank you.
Good going. Hey, big shout-out to this job and getting it in.
All right, well, everybody, as always, I'd like to say to you all, please, take action. And we'll see you guys next week on Lunch and Learn with Kristen Barrett. Thanks again, Clark.
You bet, man. See you next week.